Welcome to a Frugal Athlete podcast, where we interview athletes, both current and former, on the prudent financial practices and smart career decisions they are making. In these episodes, we dive into what it means to be a frugal athlete. You might think that frugal just means being cheap, but as you will soon learn, being frugal is more complex than that. I'm your host, Amobi Okugo. In this episode, we got
two of my favorite ladies from the other side of the world, Quincy and Jane, athletes and athletes, or athletes for athletes. Let me get it correct.
There you go.
How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Yeah, really good. Thank you for having us back.
Yeah, it's been, I remember, we were talking about it offline, you know, when you guys first started. Talk about the journey for some people that may have not listened to the first podcast, from where we, when we first met to where you guys are now.
Okay. Wait, I think we actually did the last podcast in the bed that we were telling you about where we got our photo. We actually did that podcast then. We've just evolved so much since then.
So obviously, if you've never heard anything about us, we're both former American football players. We both played here in Australia against each other, and then we went to the US and we won a national championship 2018.
Yeah, with Chicago.
And then we retired. And then we retired on a high, and we started a company called Athletes for Athletes because we didn't want to go and work a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just so used to that athlete lifestyle, training every day, hanging out with our friends and traveling. So we wanted to stay on that level, which I think a lot of athletes can relate to.
100%.
So we started a company, which was basically what we needed when we retired because we had no idea what the next step was. We knew that it got to be, you know, bigger and better, but we just, like, how do you know? How do you navigate that?
And we saw the need for it while we were in the States playing, you know what I mean? Like, we trained with so many different athletes at sports performance gyms. We saw they're in the league 1 minute, not in the league next minute. They don't have a plan in place. And it's just, we just saw it and we're just like, wow, we want to be those people that we needed, that they needed. And so that's why we created Athletes for Athletes.
Nice. And it's amazing. So talk about exactly what it is, because I know when you guys first started, you guys helped athletes, you know, find partnerships, you know, affiliate marketing courses, the whole nine. And then now you guys have even taken it one step further. I know we're going to get into it a little bit later, but talk about, like, from a business standpoint, what is Athletes for Athletes?
I think this is actually a really good point for a lot of people to pick up, and something that we resisted in the beginning. So we started, like you said, with all of these different options for athletes outside.
Yeah, we call them different tracks for them to go down.
They're all online. And we were really stuck on how this is our business. This is how it looked. This is how it's going to work. Like, just kept pushing that. And then someone came to us one day. He's a former football player. He owned gyms. He had a...
Yeah, he played in the CFL.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he wanted to make an app. He wanted to take his businesses offline. He was working long hours. And
he just wanted to learn how to leverage his time a little bit better, because the success of his business relied on him being in the gym with his clients. So, yeah, that's why he came to us with this app idea.
Yeah, and he said, do you guys do apps? And we're like, no, but, I mean, we can do anything.
We can make it work. So
that's the
mindset we always had. We're just always like, we can make it work.
Yeah, and that was the point I was trying to make. Like, with anything that you're doing in business, like, you've got to constantly evolve. Like, if we had
pivot, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, if we had stayed doing what we were doing back then, like, I just can't even imagine it. Because it's evolved now from that first app to now we have a full app development team. Like, with that's mainly what we do now. So we've created Waka Games, which is...
Yeah, bespoke apps, gaming platforms, gaming solutions, anything really in the tech space, cryptocurrency, all that kind of stuff. It's so exciting.
Yeah, I buy metrics. Like, it's gone like crazy.
I'm intrigued.
Not very techie, but I don't know. Like, it's,
yeah, we've kind of just learned on the fly. And I think that's the best way to go. Sometimes, you know, people are afraid to take that step because they don't know what to do. Whereas you take that step and you kind of just learn along the way.
No, I love that. First and foremost, I want to point out the fact that you guys said yes before you guys, you know, I don't want to say thought you were ready, but you guys had no experience in the app space. I think that athlete mindset, you know, taking on new challenges, being able to, you know, look at a goal and figure out ways to get there. That's a mindset that a lot of athletes can take, you know, as they transition into their next phase of their career, which you guys have both done greatly. And then from the app standpoint, I know this is going to be the bulk of our conversation. So let's get right into it. Waka Games apps. Why should every athlete, in your guys' opinion, have an app?
Well, I mean, look, the app game's not for everyone, but if you're an athlete and you have an idea that you think is really cool, there is an opportunity for you to build a business. And we're not going to pretend that it's just you build an app, you put it on the app store, and it's a magical thing that makes you money. I mean, that can happen, but you have to run it like a business. But it allows you, when you transition out of sport, to have something that's in the online space, that's easy to market. Everyone knows apps. They're not going away ever. So I think it's a natural transition. You know, it's a fun space to be in. I think it fits with athletes.
Yeah, it still gives them the freedom to still work on their craft if they're still in the league. And it gives them the freedom to still spend time with their family and do whatever it is that they want to do. They want to travel. They want to live their life. Cool. They just have to jump on, you know, they have to create a cool team, find a cool app development team. And you know what I mean? Like, all these meetings can be done on Zoom, on Google Hangouts, online, whatever it is. And they can start stepping through the steps and build a business that, you know, can take care of them and pay them long term.
No, that's amazing. So obviously, you know, in the past, we've seen apps like athletes have fitness apps, but I feel like now if you guys expanded, you guys talked about different apps, crypto involved, you know, different unique offerings. So from an athlete perspective, what are some unique ways outside of just the regular, you know, I'm building my fitness workouts and I'm going to put it on an app?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a fitness one is obviously aligned with a lot of athletes, and there's never too many of something. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't ever think, oh, there's so many fitness apps, I don't want to do a fitness app, because there's millions of people and everyone's working out and everyone has apps. So there's always a market. So I definitely think for people who have an idea, whether it's fitness or anything, and they go, oh, there's already an app for it, like, do your research. Like, if you have an idea, look at what's out there. What do you like about what they're doing? What don't you like? How do they market it? You know, just get some knowledge around it. There's always a way to do it better, to make it easier, to make it faster, to make it more enjoyable for people. So I think that's probably a big thing. But I mean, everyone's got the most random ideas. Like, a lot of the athletes that come to us, not all of them are fitness apps. You know what I mean? Like, one of them, we can't speak too much on the details of the app, but one of them is a dating app. So, you know, this athlete came to us and he had an idea on how to make Tinder, Hinge, all of that, a better version of it. And now we're stepping through that.
And we don't even use dating apps. And when he told us, we're like,
when he first came to us with the idea, we're like, I don't think that's a good idea.
We're like, that's a dumb idea. We took it through the process.
Yeah, and we also spoke to our app developer, and we said, you know, got, because he obviously understands the market. He knows what's a good idea and what's not. And he was like, this is an incredible idea. And we're like, whoa. Okay, so we went back to him, like, okay, you know what? Like, I'll eat my work.
Let's make it happen.
Actually, good idea. Let's do it.
No, that's amazing. I love what you guys talked about. First and foremost, you know, from an athlete standpoint, you know, you can do a fitness product. I think Master P said it best. It's like, how many bread companies are there, or how many soda companies are there? You have your unique story as an athlete, so don't be discouraged if there's another athlete, or sorry, athlete app out there. And then from the standpoint of working with somebody, you guys talked about it, everything was possible, whether it's a dating app, whatever. So talk about the process from going, I want to start an app, I go out to you guys. What does that look like? Why can't I just do like a website, or, you know, OnlyFans is popular, Patreon's popular. How come I just don't do that?
I mean, those are definitely options. And I think that it's really smart for anyone who's looking to do an app to look at what options are out there as alternatives. Like any business, like, we tell people, do some research, get a feel for it. If Patreon or OnlyFans or one of those platforms is going to work for you better, then that's what you should do. I think with an app, you're creating like
something that's yours as well. You know what I mean? Like, with Patreon and OnlyFans, it's an outside source. So you're reliant on them still being around and their success. You know what I mean? So if you're creating a business on one of those platforms, it's reliant on them continuing and, you know, being
open. Paying you.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas with an app, you own the software, it's your IP, it's your content, you're putting it in the stores, whatever stores. And you can have a website when you have it in the app stores. You know, there's multiple ways that you can have your app, but yeah, it's your business that you can go on and sell. Whereas I'm not too sure if you had built a business on Patreon, how that would go in the future if you ever wanted to unsell it or things like that. I mean, you just got to look at all of the options and what you want to do. Do you want to just create it to make some fast money, or do you want to build a long-term sustainable business? Or, you know,
these are all the things that we talk about with someone that when they first come to us, you know, we find out what their idea is, what they see long-term, what their goals are. We just go through all of that so we can understand the best way moving forward, because it's got to be aligned for both parties. You know what I mean? Like,
we're not going to do an app with you just for this, because we just want to make some fast cash. Like, no. We want our apps to be with people who are then going to go and make a success of them. Like, that obviously feels good for us. We're helping people, but it also means that they're going to go on and make money. They're going to go and tell people, like, I worked with these girls. I got this great product. And now my business is doing X, Y, Z, which obviously comes back around. So that good energy flow.
No, that's amazing. So when it comes to, like, the process of building out the app, you know, not every athlete is, like, technical in terms of being able to, like, handle the technicalities that go with apps. So what's that, like, onboarding process like? Like, once the concept's built, then now the app's taken care of, does the athlete have to go in the back end and, like, learn how to code? Like, what's that look like?
No, and just before that one, just one step before that, because I know that in this industry, there's a lot of different companies, and a lot of people have an idea. They Google, like, I want to build an app. Mm-hmm. Some companies come up, and a lot of companies say that, you know, you have to pay $10,000. You come in for a consultation. We'll put it all on the whiteboard. We'll figure it out before you even get to the point where you find out how much it's going to build, cost to build an app. So that would be one thing that I recommend to athletes. Whatever you're doing, you shouldn't be paying to go through this
to first. Just have that initial meeting.
To have that first
and get a quotation.
Because that's often what scares people. They start Googling. They're seeing all these crazy prices. You know, even to have a conversation, they've got to be locked into these meetings. There's, you know, you should be able to have that conversation and get a quote for the app
and get an idea
before you lock pay any money.
Okay.
So that's just like a point that I wanted to make before we get into the tech stuff, because that's something that I think a lot of people bring up.
Yeah, and something that we do for our clients. Obviously, we project manage the entire project. So when you come to us, you don't understand whatever it is. There's no silly questions. We walk you through every single step, each milestone. We explain the process. So you're getting an understanding of it and learning as we go. So, you know, we're here to help the athletes, the client, whoever it is, each step of the way.
Yeah, and there's definitely no coding involved.
No.
We don't code. Yeah, so we have a project manager on both sides. So we obviously project manage with the athlete on this side.
With the client, yeah.
And then we have a business partner who project manages with the developers, so that everything runs really smoothly. They tell us every different step that we're going to take. We have meetings, they bring up stuff on the board, everyone signs off on stuff, we move to the next step. So it's just really step by step. It's easy, basically, holding people's hand through the process, because it is unknown.
And we do understand that it can be scary for some people, or even some people that come to us, they've had a bad experience in the past where they kind of had to pay all this money up front and then the people disappeared and they never heard from them again. So we don't want any of our clients to ever feel like that, and that's
a really common theme. Like, even my uncles had an app; they paid $80,000. They got absolutely no app. So that is something that can be in this space, because there's so many. There are quite a few. It's like, not like real estate, but you know, they were saying real estate's got like that bad rep of like shonky people. The app industry has also got that reputation. People paying a lot of money for apps that they never receive, or half finished apps, or apps that don't work.
Or like apps that have a lot of bugs and, you know, that just don't really work. And they just, like, when you log onto the app, you're just like, this is a dodgy app. You just already know. You know what I mean?
You want to make it as seamless as possible, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for an athlete, obviously they can check out Athletes for Athletes, but what are some ways to like check like if an app developer is like legit or not? Like, what questions should be asking? Like, you know, with the financial advisor, you know, you ask them fiduciary, non-fiduciary, different things like that. But what am I supposed to be asking an app developer like right off the bat?
I mean, I think first of all, you'd look at other apps that they've created, like go get a list of what they've made, go on the app store and do your own research. Do these apps function really well? What do I like? What don't I like?
The reviews on the apps as well, is read all those reviews.
Ooh.
So that would be like a first thing. And then you can research them as a company. I know I've got a friend who's like super techie, and we're going through the process with him right now, and I just mentioned the name and he came back to me. He's like, oh, you know, the app team's in Gibraltar. It's like he'd already done all this back-end research. So, you know, you can do stuff like that. I'm not really
You can ask them kind of what software they use or what code language they use. You can get an idea of, you know, the type of softwares and stuff that they use.
That's amazing.
So just stuff like that. And I feel like, honestly, trust your gut. You know, your instinct's going to tell you this person is legit or they're not. So at the end of the day, I feel like, you just got to go with that and do your research.
Yeah. And then also, I think, depending on, like, obviously, if you're working with someone like us, you could say, who's the owner of this app? Like, we can put you in touch with them and you can just ask them questions. How did you find the process?
The experience, yeah.
Because everyone that we work with, we know, we're friends with, and we have long-term relationships with. So I mean, that's another option, I guess, mm-hmm. people could take, but everyone's different. I mean, I'm the opposite of that. Like, I ask the right questions. I only go on gut, whereas Jane asks a lot.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more skeptical than Quincy. So, like, you know, for an example, when we're on Amazon buying something, Quincy will just buy the first thing she sees, where I'm like, Quincy, look at the reviews. Like, all those reviews are bad. And then we get the product, and it's like this fake product. And I'm like,
Unfortunately, you can always return it, at least with Amazon. They're pretty good about that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes. I'm not sure how it is.
You know, that whole process of returning it and mailing it back.
Yeah, that's true. It's a hassle. I want to talk about, you know, you guys talked about the ownership of the app, and I love what you guys said about that, because athletes now are thinking about ownership long term. So say, you know, OnlyFans goes down, Patreon goes down, you know, there's apps where you can, like, you can have an app under an app, like conglomerate, and what if that goes down? So, you know, when it comes to apps or websites or whatever you're doing, always make sure you have ownership. And I think, you know, Quincy and Jane just made that point very clear. So my question is to you, you guys were professional football players at one point. If you guys were to start your career over, what's your app called? And it's not, I know you guys do everything together. You guys are two peas in a pod, but you guys have to have individual answers.
Okay. So what, you're just asking what app would we do?
Yeah, you're making an app. Jane is making an app. What's her app called and what's it about?
Mine's Who Wants to Be a Billionaire. Because Millie just ain't enough right now.
I feel you on that one.
We used to play on the way to and from training when we lived in Chicago. We lived right out of the city, and we used to travel an hour and a half to workouts and then an hour and a half into the city. So, like, sometimes 5 hours in the car each day, and we used to play Who Wants to
Be a Billionaire. Wait, hold on. Y'all drove that or took the train?
No, we drove. Yeah. I bought cars over in the States, like, really cheap, but it's just, you know, just a car to get us from A to B. And
we used to drive to the gym, home from the gym, have a sleep, go back into practice. So it was like a lot of time in the car. So we used to do like brain teasers, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We won it over, we're flying over Japan once.
Yeah.
But that's like a really fun game. But
yeah. Okay. So you would, that's your app, Who Wants to Be a Billionaire, not millionaire, billionaire. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I always had this app idea ages ago. I haven't gone through with it yet.
We'll spill the beans on here.
Yeah. Don't tell people.
I'm be coming up with a new app. But it was a different concept to Uber and Uber Eats. It's like an online delivery messenger system that I wanted to create. So I'm not going to go into too much detail because you might
bring it back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I always wanted to create something like that in that space. So I haven't even thought of an idea for it, but it would be a really cool name.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. It's always interesting to hear, you know, the ideas that we have in our head that sometimes we act on and sometimes we don't act on. So for you guys, obviously you guys said someone reached out to you about, you know, creating an app. Were you guys thinking about starting this business, or it was kind of like by force, not by force, by chance?
Yeah, it was by chance. Yes. And this is one thing that probably athletes can relate to. Your network when you're an athlete is like everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we met someone while we're in the States. We stayed in contact with them, which is what we do really well. Like, we're always networking. When someone said they wanted an app, we're like, who do we know who has an app?
We just reached out to our network.
We reached out to the guy that we knew. We're like, you've got an app. Who made your app? He introduced us to app.
Yeah.
App
so guy. We actually interviewed three different people, app companies.
Through our network.
Yeah. And we just went with our gut, whoever felt good, like working with and stuff like that. So that's how we now have our app team.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, that we met while we were playing in the States.
And can you talk about, like, the market for the app community? Because everyone's talking about, like, you know, digital courses, that's like a $1 billion market. Virtual events, that's a $1 billion market. You know, I feel like apps has been around, you know, I mean, ever since, you know, iPhone and Android was coming out. So talk about the market size and, you know, the ability, you know, because we don't see a lot of athletes in this space. Like, obviously, you guys are no better than me when it comes to how many athletes are in this app space, but how big is the market, like the potential for an athlete to, you know, come in and build out?
That's, I mean, we don't have all the answers. No, but I think that obviously with anything online, it's unlimited and it's just dependent on, you can have the best idea in the world and you don't market effectively and no one knows about it. Or you can have like a really average idea, but you market it really well. And
it does really well. Yeah. So, and what we've noticed as well, that things that are already out there, people are like, oh, this market's saturated, da, da, da. But it's like, things can always be done better. So whatever's out there at the moment, if you honestly believe that you can do it better, market it better, like make it more effective, then you can go out there and have a really successful business in the app space.
I'm trying to think of a specific athlete that we can reference. Well, I mean, some of ours will be references soon.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, people can think that the market's saturated, but things can always be done better. And you just have to have that mindset and believe that you can do it better.
Perfect. So for the athlete, would you say, like, can they start their app from the ground up, or would they have to build out their platform or community on like Twitter and Instagram or YouTube? And then from there, it's like, yo, I have an app, like, you guys all subscribe. Like, how would you guys recommend that?
Well, for athletes, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's all reliant on the platform. You got to have millions of followers, you know, but with athletes, they have at least 5 to 10,000 true fans. You know what I mean? So if you're building something, your e-commerce website, clothing company, an app, whatever it is, if those 5 to 10,000 true fans just follow you and do whatever you want, you're selling an app for $9.99 a month. 10,000 of those true fans, you might have millions of followers, but 10,000 are the true legit fans that will follow you through anything that you do. That's less than $100,000 a month right there. $9.99 a month, 10,000 fans, true fans, That's a decent side hustle.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even rely, like, I think, like, everyone talks about their social media following. I wouldn't even rely on those people. Like, if you've got an app that's designed for, you're a guy and it's designed for, it's a fitness one for booties, I would be using social media marketing. Like, we have
Facebook ads,
like, targeting people that want, like, specifically, like, 20 to 45 year old women who look at fitness stuff, you know, whatever it is, or they buy booty bands. Like, you can narrow it down like so much. I would just be spending money targeting my audience. One thing that we've noticed that people think is a bit old school, but has worked really well, is traditional PR.
Like mainstream media.
Mainstream media. You're an athlete. Yeah. So talking about who you are, your journey, and creating this new product, like, I think that people overlook it. It's a free market. It's, you know, you can reach out to magazines, newspapers, radio.
Especially like local, you know what I mean? Like, go back to your hometown, go and do that local stuff. Because they love to support the local kid that, you know, got out of that hometown and went and did really well. Like, people love that. Like, those are feel-good stories. And then that's just a genuine way to market your product and just let the world know about it.
No, that's amazing.
Also, some little tips and tricks, like, obviously the search engine optimization.
Yeah.
You can get your app featured on the app store, so it comes up right at the top. Like, there's little things that
how you do that?
Ooh.
Oh yeah, you gotta tap in. You gotta check the website. I try to sneak that one in there. I try. Okay, but let's talk about the financials, because you got my head spinning. And obviously, you know, we talked about, you know, the possibility of trying to get an app for me. And like, the more we talk, I'm like, the more I need to just do it. But we'll see about that. But so the financial, you're talking about, you know, you could charge on a monthly basis for your consumers,
yeah.
Or
monthly, fortnightly, weekly.
Yeah, and also with apps.
Or you can do it that you just pay for it a one-off and then they have the app. So it just, there's so many different ways.
Yeah, you could have a free app, but then there's
like a freemium
tiers
model
that they, you know, they subscribe to once they're in there. Or you can have it completely free and then just build it up so you've got hundreds of thousands of people, and then you pay, like, have ad space in the app. Like, there's probably like 5 or 6 different ways within an app that you can monetize it, and you don't have to pick one or the other. Like, often you can have 3 different ways that, you know, you're making money from. Data is obviously a huge one, and understanding your people and what they want.
That's cool. So yeah, now we're talking numbers. I'm excited. All right, so here we go. How do you reach out to somebody, or like an ad person? You're like, I have 100,000 people on my app, all free of charge. They are valuable customers. I want to, you know, create an ad space. Is that already taken care of, like, on the back end? Or, you know, now do you need a team to build that out?
I would think that in the beginning, when you're thinking about making an app, we'll talk about all the ways that you want to monetize it. So if having ad space in the future is something that would we would build it in the app process, so that all of those things would be discussed in the beginning. How do you want to make money? I want to use influencers. I want to do this. I
like
want
subscription
to do that.
Model, premium okay. model, like whatever it is.
And that would be built. And if it's something that you think, I don't really want to do that now, but in the future, then it can just be added. Because like any business, apps are continually evolving. So you think of a new app.
Like how many times do you does your phone automatically update, you know, for all your different apps?
Oh, yeah, true.
So you can add evolving. It in or you can put it in the beginning. It's up to, you know, a lot of people make like an MVP version of an app. So they're like
minimally viable product.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, we got to have, you know, got to have the dictionary of the financial terms and, you know, so
yeah,
for
and
people.
I think
to
that,
know.
That gives people a little bit of security. So they're like, I've got this massive idea. Got 20 million things I want to do. Okay, but here's the five main things. I'm going to create an app with these five things. I'm going to put it to the market. I'm going to get people's feedback because people's feedback is what matters, not your idea or your opinion. Do people like it? Then, okay, I'm going to evolve on those three things and no one really liked these two things. I'll get rid of them and I might add one more of my other ideas.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Just constantly evolving. Like, and it's like any business, like every month, every quarter, whatever. You're like, what's working? What's not? Where are we losing customers? Where, you know, what are we spending money on that's making us more money? We need to put more money there, take money. You know, it's just like,
And so many people are afraid to go to market because they think their product's not perfect. But it's like, no, just go to market and get the feedback because you might think that you're going to market with the perfect product, but then the audience doesn't respond well to it. So then you got to change it anyway. So it's like, just go to market, just go and do it, get the feedback, and then just keep evolving, keep changing, keep growing. And yeah, you just learn along the way.
No, I love that. It's just like in sports, you know, you learn from the results that you have on the field, you know, where you need to work on your game, you know, where you need to, you know, analyze and watch film. And I think, you know, the same applies to business. So I love that, you know, just go to market and then get the results and get the feedback from the results. What other advice would you have for, you know, athlete entrepreneurs? You guys are two of the, you know, most well-known, at least from my knowledge, Australian American football players that have transitioned into the business space. So what advice would you guys have for anyone trying to, you know, follow in your footsteps or learn from what you guys are doing?
I think for me, like, especially is building a team of people. Like obviously Jane and I have each other. Not everyone has that. Like we're very lucky. But if I didn't have Jane, we have a team. So we have obviously a team of developers, but we also have a guy who does PR. So he gives us all of our advice around PR and different times and what's the best thing. We have a social media ads team. So like
so they run all of our Facebook ads and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're not like professional in any of those fields, but we built up a really solid team around us of people
that
we know
and
trust. And that's
what?
That's a really key thing for athletes because sometimes it can be overwhelming. It's like, okay, I've got this idea, I'm gonna be retiring
soon.
Yeah,
you can feel very alone in the process.
Yeah,
but it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, so like just get some good people, like you get financial advisors, like get advisors in different fields and bounce off them, and also maybe find a partner to do it with. Like I think that sometimes
but you're like-minded, so you can keep like holding each other accountable, you can grow together, you're ever evolving
and you bring different things to the table. Jane and I are so similar in a lot of ways, but so different. So like she is super techie, you know, she understands, like I'm the total opposite. Love a chat, but don't really get any of the back end stuff. So like, you know, it balances out because then she can often do things that I can't, and then I'll often
exactly.
Shit, when she can't.
No, I respect. So when you guys started, you guys like planned to retire at the same time, or just everything kind of just happened by chance?
Nothing ever happens by chance.
Oh, y'all was plotting, huh?
We were kind of disaligned in like our vision and our future and how we saw our life going, and it just happened that we were ready to walk away from the game at the same time, and we were also ready to get into business.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to work out for us.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and just to some advice I wanted to give, that was Quincy's one. One thing that for me in the beginning was really scary was taking that first step and like just taking a risk. And, you know, I'm someone who's very like a lot more conservative than Quincy. So it was really hard for me to want to take that next step. And obviously everyone says you grow when you're outside of your comfort zone. And that statement is so true, especially for me. Like the best things that's ever happened to me is when I took that risk and when I took that first step and was outside of my comfort zone. And then that's how you keep growing, you know what I mean? So you step out of your comfort zone and then that uncomfortable area becomes your new comfort zone, and then you just keep stepping through and growing and evolving. And that would be advice that I would give, is just take that first step.
No, I love that from both of you.
And I also think as well that, to make a point of it, like we didn't take these steps and like take risks and then it all just went perfectly. Like we've had a long road of like,
yeah,
lots of fuck ups, lots of like people, invoices that weren't paid, talking to people for months that never, you know, things didn't pull off. Like it hasn't been like, oh, we just stepped out of our comfort zone and like,
and then everything happened. Yeah, no.
It's been like a wild ride.
Yeah,
and it has had a lot of points where we literally look at each other like, what the.
And you can only fail if you give up. If you never give up, you'll never fail. You'll just keep, like, this will just happen. Doors will open, opportunities will come to you, and, yeah, things just, it's one day just starts to fall into place, and you're just like, wow, like, thank you.
I totally feel you on that one, because when you guys talked about, you know, when invoices weren't paid, it's like, I could say so much that I don't want to say right now.
No one tells your business that the hardest thing isn't getting the work, isn't getting the contract signed, it's getting the
Hey, I'm like, yo. So we're just gonna skip that part, right? Like, what's
going on? I'm basically debt collectors.
No, that's so funny.
But that's just something that we've implemented now with our projects. Like, once this contract is signed, 50% is paid up front, and that's just so that our people get paid before, so when they do the work, like,
yeah. And then everything else is on milestone after that. Once the milestone's reached, then you pay the next invoice and so on, and then the balance on handover. So we've got a really like structured system in place now, but we only have that system because we've been messed over
trial and error. No, so talk about, you know, athletes entrepreneurs is, you know, that's like the new thing, athlete investors. Talk about, you know, the skills that you guys applied from, you know, your sports careers to the entrepreneurship space. I know, you know, Jane, you just mentioned like you're more conservative and you're more skeptical. And I imagine it's because you were a quarterback. That's what you kind of had to do. And then, you know, Quincy, you're talking about, you know, you like to, you know, get in the weeds, connect, and, you know, your position. Wait, let me get your position right. You play linebacker, right?
No, tight end.
Tight end.
Actually, my blind side offensive line too. So she has my back on and on and off the field.
Okay. So, yes.
And our league is O-line.
Yeah, O-line, tight end. Everyone's eligible in our league. So.
Oh, okay, cool. So, yeah, tight end. So you got to do a little bit of everything. So it fits in with you guys' personalities. But talk about it from the transition into business.
Cool. Well, I think one thing that I took, like being a quarterback, and this is something that I've been told a lot, that I was always like cool, calm, and collected. You know, like when things were going wrong in a game, like I didn't freak out. And I always tried to stay like cool and calm and, you know, just get through anything. And I feel like that's how I am in business as well. Like, it's not like I freak out when something bad happens. I don't freak out and get flustered and, you know, worry too much. Like, it's just, okay, like, let's just address it. Let's just walk through it. And I feel like that was one thing that I brought over from sport, was just staying cool and calm and just handling situations as they come my way. And yeah, just never getting overwhelmed or flustered.
Perfect.
I was going to say, mine's a wild ride. I don't know. I'm like totally opposite. I get smacked in the face every play. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful she did that. She kept me good. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm one of those people, like, I open every door. Like, and I've done that my whole life. Like, I've always believed that I was going to have this, like, big, wild, crazy life. And that's how I do it. So, like, I see opportunities that other people don't see. I'm always, like, following different avenues. And, like, I think that's probably something in football. Like,
yeah,
lots of people told me, like, oh, you can't go and play in the US. I was like, yeah, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So, like, that mentality of,
yeah,
like,
she's always had a big picture mindset, and she's always made me feel safe. Like, she protected me on the field, but even in business, she's always made me feel safe, you know, like, it's things are always good. And she's always like optimistic, like super optimistic, always silver lining type of person. One door closes, another opens. That's
no fancy. Respect. I appreciate that you guys sharing that. So from the I don't wonder why you guys are business partners and best friends, basically sisters.
We're each other's type, Ben. Some days when things are tough, we're like, you know, we've got to hype each other up.
Perfect. I'm going to cut that clip up. So next time you guys have your big argument, you just send that to each other. You know, you guys are good.
You're
like, I love you. Now, so let's... Before I let you guys go, because I know you guys are, you know, busy, you know, changing the world for so many different people. When it comes to, you know, financial concepts, you know, you guys mentioned pay yourself first as, you know, being something that you guys really value. So talk about that. I know you guys talked about, you know, taking risk and, you know, just going. But talk about the aspect from a money management investing standpoint.
Yeah, that's something that we had to learn last year. We did, obviously COVID was happening. We had a business coach come in and we did 7 weeks.
Six or 7 weeks.
And it was like really intense because we had no structure within our own business. Like we knew what we wanted to do and we were kind of putting things in place, but behind the scenes, like
we'd never run a business before that. So it was nice to have a coach come in and, you know, just give us some.
And that was the biggest thing he said for us. Like, when as soon as you get paid any money, like you're putting money into a savings account, you're putting money into an investment account. So you're paying yourself, and then whatever's left is what then you like divvy up to live and to have fun and to do whatever it is. And if you have obviously other goals, you can have different accounts, but making sure you don't live and then put what's left at the end of the week or the month or the year into your savings, because there's always going to be opportunities. So you need to be ready. And also he said, always have 3 months worth of, what was the expenses?
Yeah. So whatever your monthly expenses are, let's just say it's $5,000 a month. Always make sure you have $15,000 in your savings for a rainy day in case something happens. You need to like take care of all your stuff for 3 months.
So there's always like 3 months buffer zone. Like that was something that.
And just know your numbers. That's one thing that he said. You know, we were so like airy fairy with like finance and stuff like that, and then it was like, no, you actually need to know your numbers. Like, know your numbers, know what's going out, know what's coming in. Just know your numbers. Be like,
make sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also as well, at the end of it, when you look at your profit and you look at how many hours, you can work out like what your hourly rate worked out. And if you're not happy with that, then you're like, okay, the next project, like we need to make sure we either make it smaller time or we charge more money because we're worth more than that. So like,
yeah, knowing your worth 100%, that took us a long time to...
Which is probably something that athletes can relate to. You're really good at being an athlete. That's all you know. That's what you love. And then you start being an investor and an entrepreneur, but it doesn't feel authentic because you haven't done the years to become that. One day you are, as soon as you start a business, you are an entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're not a very good one, but you're still an entrepreneur.
Still one. Yeah.
And like building that
self-worth. And it's like that in the beginning, it's like that imposter syndrome. You're like, oh, I'm not quite a business person, but honestly, believe in yourself and know that you are, know that you're capable and know your worth. Like that's just one thing that it took us a long time to figure out.
No, I love that. I'm definitely going to apply some of the lessons that you guys just told me into my own practice, especially like charging the right amount. I think that's a big one, especially as athletes. We're so used to having the contract already kind of set in or having an agent negotiate for us. So it's like, all right, how do we negotiate something that's worth our time and then worth the value that we feel like we can provide? So before I let you guys go, I said that before, but I feel like we can talk for hours. Where can people find you? And then in closing, one last piece of advice for, you know, any athlete. And one rookie mistake that you guys made when you guys first went pro.
I went pro in
in the States.
In the States, okay. All right. So wait, what was the first question?
I'll run it back. So all right, we'll just go first. I asked you guys like 8 questions in like 1 minute. So
answer these 8 questions each.
So here we go. One rookie mistake when you guys went pro in the States playing football.
I think that the first season, my first season over there was LA. It was so much fun. I treated it like a holiday. So we didn't make playoffs there yet. I mean, we should have, but I just think that from the rest of my career and how like I handled stuff, totally different that first year in LA. Party.
And also I think mine was thinking I was better than I actually was. I always had this confidence that I was like gonna win and be the best and da da da. But at the time when I was thinking it, I wasn't there yet. And I was like, it took me a while to be like, no, I need to actually take a step back, put in the work, put in the time, because I was so new. I'd only played one season of football and I thought I was on top of the world. And you know what I mean? So then I invested in a quarterback's coach. I invested in the time to get better. I did all that stuff. And then I eventually grew into the person that I wanted to be. So nice. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay, perfect. What would Perfect. And then where can people find you, you know, if they want to connect? You know, I really appreciate you guys sharing basically app building 101, but you guys have so many other gems about life, business, athlete money management and all that. So where can people find you and connect with you guys if they want to tap in?
I think the easiest way, the platform we're on the most, is Instagram. So mine's Quincy Hewitt, Jane Caldwell. And then also we have Athletes for Athletes. And on our Athletes for Athletes page on Instagram will be our website, the Waka Games website. So they can go and check out that, ask us any questions there.
Yeah, and just message us.
Perfect. So that's all going to be in the show notes. Make sure y'all tap in.
Yeah, and there'll be an email on there as well. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so we're going to definitely include that in the show notes. So thank you guys. Thank you girls so much for taking the time. I know the time difference is crazy. I'm not sure what time it is over there right now, but. As always.
10:45 here. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's not too bad. It's not past y'all's bedtime, so we're good. All right, perfect.
One thing I kind of wanted to leave it with people, if they have got this far and they're listening and it's something that's in the back of their mind, like how Jane and I are each other's hype squad, that's how we're going to be with you. If you're watching, if you've got an idea, like we want to see you succeed. So I feel like that's like, if you're, you know, if you're scared about taking the next step, like at least you know you've got a squad here that like want to see you succeed.
Love that. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it as always. And people, if you're listening, make sure you tap in with Jane and Quincy. They're doing amazing things and, you know, they can definitely help you with whatever goals that you may have, especially in the app space.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
No, most definitely.
Thank you for tuning in to this podcast episode. For more information, check out the show notes and go to our website, www.afrugalathlete.com. If you enjoyed, please leave a favorable rating and review, and share and subscribe. Thank you so much.